This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Mālo nei to our Tokelauan listeners and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and next to me is my Cook Island koi Tinira Arona, back from Fiji, looking tanned, looking sharp. It is great to have you back here, my friend.
Kia ora, Sammy. How are you, mate?
I'm fantastic now after seeing you alive and well. We'll share a few stories about our trip to Fiji.
I've actually got a gift for you.
And what have you got for me?
Well, you're going back to Fiji next year for when you commentate the Fijian draw.
Yeah.
So here's the rest of my Fijian money.
Yes. Fijian dollars. This will get me a coffee.
Get your bowl of kava. Yes. I brought it home and I was like, what am I going to do with this? And I was like, actually, Sammy will probably be going there early next year. So there you go, mate. Nice little gift from
I appreciate it. I'm definitely going to keep that. But the last few days there, when the mayor left back to Sydney, were you guys all right? You stayed safe.
I missed you. I won't lie. I missed you and Dex. But we got a fair bit of work done over those next couple of days. We're honoured to be welcomed into the Fijian women's camp and present to those ladies, for representing the RLPA and, explaining some of their payment processes that will for the players. And then we were also welcomed to the Fijian kava session with the men's, the Fijian Pati boys.
Ooh, the brown gold.
Yeah, it was cool. Tui Kamithamitha, it was his kava from his kava farm. So he's got kava farms in Fiji, and he welcomed us, said to come round, and he was mixing it up, and then we got to share a moment with a lot of the boys, just having some kava. And the next day we got to go into the Cook Island camp. Now that was special, to round off our trip. We're leaving the next morning, and it was just cool to be able to sit in there. It was their cultural night, so both women's and men's teams, they split off. The women's were learning their dance, because when we go to, the school clinics or we go to events, they were actually going to the Cook Island commissioner's place the next night, so they were practicing a dance to give to the Cook Island people in Fiji. So the women's were practicing their dance, and then the men's were actually going through their journey to, setting some values, setting some things in place that's going to help them go to their destination, which is the World Cup.
Using it as a theme and something to navigate them to the World Cup, like getting some common themes from their history and using it towards high performance for their preparation. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly right. So you're using the way that we navigated the oceans, jumping on a vaka. You think about the journey that our ancestors had to do, where they travelled through the ocean and eventually found, the Cook Islands, or it could be Tonga, it could be Samoa. But the amount of teamwork that's involved, the amount of trust and connection to ride them vakas through the oceans and following the stars. There was no GPS, there was no phones back then, but then trying to relate it to their journey as a rugby league team and how they want to get to the World Cup. It was cool to be able to sit in that meeting and hear stories, of our ancestors and, how the warriors of Cook Islands, protected their own, and how they're going to relate that to their rugby league journey.
Without giving too much away, obviously that's a sacred part of their preparation. Was there anything that stood out where you go, oh, that relates from our culture and we can definitely use that for performance? Say like a name of a warrior or something like that. Like when we talked about Jason Demetrio using just Tok Pisin to name a few moves and get to certain parts of the field. Was there anything like that for the Cook Islands?
I think for my moment in there, well, actually had a moment. I was trying to hide at the back because I knew Carmichael Hunt, who was the head coach there, he was going around the room and asking what players thought, and he went to all the senior players, and I think he see me hiding in the back, and he's like, what do you think, T? You know, you've been here a fair bit and been to a number of these camps. And I was like, well, luckily I was well prepared and I already had something in my mind.
Outstanding work.
You know, that moment actually reminded me of my own journey. And in 2009, we got sent to Cairns to play Samoa in a qualifying match. The very next week, that the winner would go to PNG and play the Pacific champion, the Pacific Cup, sorry, it was back then, where Fiji, PNG and Tonga were waiting for the winner out of this game. Funny thing was, flights and hotels were booked already for Samoa, but then a young group of young Cook Island players went up there, beat Samoa, and they had to change all the flights and the hotel bookings because we were the ones going to PNG. Now, I just shared my experience and shared that the bond that we got to create in that 1 week, you know, we created a brotherhood. We even got the night before the game, we all got matching tattoos, and it was the 15 stars
really
in the circle because we created that bond and we wanted to keep that memory. But that was that
15 stars.
That was that bond with that got us through the game. Now you think about that Samoan team. They had Sefa Paulo, Masada Yosefa, a number of NRL players. We were just a group of under 20s Toyota Cup players that come together and beat Samoa on the international stage. So I got to share that story to the Cook Island current Cook Island team and hopefully planted some seeds. And
so was the tattoo parlor in Fiji packed with all the Cookies boys getting their tattoos, or or was that just for the 2019?
Nah, they'll get their stars once they
earn your stars and stripes.
But yeah, no, it was an amazing way to end the trip. And also see my mum do her work as well. She's over there with the Cook Island women's team. And yeah, I thought it was a successful trip for both camps. So
beautiful work, mate. It was fun. Beautiful. We need to talk some other footy news. Pac champs still playing. What have you got for us?
Well, we've got no Salatonga Tuki today because she will be preparing for a game against the New Zealand women's team. Instead, you will hear from two of the Tongan girls we spoke to in Fiji, Imanita Baki and Tegan Dimmick. You'll learn about their walk the line punishment plus their Tongan pride.
Hello guys, it's Cassie Staples here from the Cronulla Sharks team and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Yeah, good luck to Cassie Staples in her game. But let's start with rugby league. Big weekend as mentioned for Pac Champs. Talk us through it, T.
Yes, in Suva, Fiji this Saturday we have two games. The Fiji Bulikula taking on the Cook Islands Moana, so the women's teams. And then straight after that game we'll have the Fiji Butti taking on the Cook Islands Aitu. Now, starting with the Fiji Bulikula versus Cook Islands Moana team, being able to be in both camps, you get a real sense of their preparation, and you also get to see the girls visually. Now, the first thing I noticed about the difference between the Fiji Bulikula and also the Cook Islands Moana is the size difference. I think the Cook Islands, you can see there are some bigger bodies there, so I'm just thinking, their forward pack could be quite strong. I noticed, big Kere Matua, who plays for the Canberra Raiders. She's like the Cook Island Mele Hufanga. She's solid, she's strong. But then I look at the Fijian team, and you've got some class NRL stars. Tale Holmes, Cassie Staples, who both played in the NRLW Grand Final for the Cronulla Sharks. You've also got a great half in Losana Lutu. Those three players, I think, are going to cause some damage for the Fijian team. They'll come up against Cook Island Moana strength, which is Annika Stevens. She's one of the co-captains with Kiana Takarangi out the back. And then I mentioned Kere Matua. So look out for Kere. I think she'll do some damage. Fiji have 7 players with NRLW experience, and the Cook Islands, they have 10 players who have NRLW experience. But the Fijian team, I mentioned those 3 players, they have more recent NRLW players. So, it'll be an interesting game. I really think it'll be a close one. Not being biased or anything, I think Cook Island Moana could come away with the upset on home soil. So
I reckon the weather's going to play a part in that one. It's going to be hot, humid. Some of those girls will be their first experience in Pacific Island weather. or playing in those conditions over in Fiji, because it'll be wet, slippery maybe as well?
Well, the winner plays Samoa in New Zealand next weekend for a spot in the World Cup. And now I know why the Fetu Samoa were celebrating so hard after they beat Tonga. You know, the amount of, you know, the what's on the line, you know, World Cup spot. Geez, there's it's going to be a big game. Whoever wins this one, and then we'll take on Samoa next week. Now, straight after this game, we will have the Batu Fiji take on the Cook Island A2. Now, I think for me, there's a few key positions, you know, a few key matchups. I'll start with the centres. Now, we have Ruben Rennie, who's played, he currently plays for Toulouse in France. He's just, well, they lost the championship grand final to Wakefield Trinity. Welcome back, Wakefield Trinity, into the Super League, if you are listening in the UK. But Ruben Rennie was on the losing side for Toulouse. So straight after the grand final, he makes a trip to Suva, joins the players. He's got a lot of Cook Island experience as well. He will bring for the Cook Islands. And you've also got a young player in Dell Wigmore. So both of them two in the centres. Now, they will come up against some experienced players in Michael Jennings and Wanga Blake. Big task on the hands for young Dell, you know, whether he's defending Michael Jennings or Wanga Blake. But I always love seeing these young players come through and represent their nations, because I've been there before. You know, as a young kid, it seems like you just play with that extra bit of pride. You add like another 50% to your game because you're now carrying the 15 stars on your back. So interested in see how Dell goes. And the other one is the props in these two games. So for the Cook Islands, we've got Tipai Moridoa, who plays for the Melbourne Storm, and you've also got Davey Moali, who plays for the South Sydney Rabbitohs, both with Cook Island experience and also NRL experience. But they'll be coming up against Big Ben Nakubue, and then a player who played a lot of minutes last week against PNG, and he also made 42 tackles. Tui Kamikamitha.
42. Where did you hear that from?
Oh, I don't know. You asked your mate Will, who gave you half a point on these.
First thing when I see T, that's not even real hello, or not even a bull of an upka. How is, you know? Oh, half a point. Pick your lip up off the floor, yeah, mate. Here
Will,
we go.
I knew I should have sent Will them questions. Well, if you're wondering what we're talking about, head to our Monday show and you'll understand why
I'm
not happy today. But, you know, they've got Isan Masters and Brad Takarangi, the skipper. Brad, you know, they are named at 6 and 7, but they're not traditional halfbacks, which could come back and bite them in the bum. But I do know when they represent their nations, you know, they give it their all. But Fiji, you know, I think with them, they will be better. Cook Islands have to expect that Fiji will be better than last week. You know, having another week in camp, understanding where they need to get better from playing that game against PNG, you know, getting reps in. But I also think 1 week in Suva is a long time.
It's a longer time in Suva than it is here in Australia and NRL for a week.
Now, I strongly believe that there's a thing called camp fatigue. You know, being in a place in one camp, and if you can't get out as much for 2 weeks, you know, can weigh its toll. And, you know, we've seen it last year when Fiji were in PNG. They beat PNG the first game. They had to stay in PNG an extra week. They end up losing the final against PNG, the very same team. So we put that down to camp fatigue maybe, but I think that could play into the Cook Islands' hands. And a big shout-out to both Cook Island captains who created history, Brad and Kiana Takarangi, you know, brother and sister.
Nice.
The first brother and sister to captain their nations at the same time. So congratulations, a huge milestone. And on Sunday, we have the Pacific Championships Cup, where both men's and women's New Zealand will take on Australia, held in Christchurch in New Zealand. First one, let's go straight to the Kiwi Ferns versus the Gillaroos. Gillaroos, it's great to see Tiana Pinatani. She's starting at centre. We've also got Yasmin Clydesdale and Samima Dalfa, who keep their position in the team. Well, all of them actually killed it when you played. Yeah, when you're in a team that won 84-0 against PNG Orchids, yeah, it would be hard to lose your spot. But Sala Tonga Tuki coming off the bench. Now, she's already won this week. Now, we've seen on social media.
Yeah, she's winning.
There was a dance battle between the Kiwis and the Australia team. And Sala Tonga Tuki comes in the middle, does a few moves, and then jumps in the air and then drops the splits and pops straight back up. And the whole crowd just goes cheering.
It was going off. Oh, I love Sala's emotions. Energy. It can be up here at 100. And if she loses a footy game, oh, wow, it's 6 feet under that one.
And in the Kiwi Ferns, we have Arpi Nichols at fullback. Now, she was born in Raro. She's had 11 games for New Zealand. She also plays for the Raiders. She'll play an important role for the Kiwi Ferns. And then, you know, we've mentioned her name a number of times. Do you reckon we can get Male Hufanga on our show? I feel like we speak about her every second episode.
Yeah, we need to. I think we've got enough runs on the board now to be able to, you know, reach out to all the players to come on. So leave that one with me, T. I'll find a way.
Sweet. Well, she will get them going forward. She'll always be a threat no matter what team she plays for. So Male Hufanga, look out for her. The one thing Kiwi Ferns don't have, though, is experienced halfback Racine McGregor. Could be a huge loss for the Kiwi Ferns. So another big game, and you know, Kiwi Ferns will take on PNG Orchids next week. But this could potentially be entree to the final.
Well, T, the last game, the Kiwis versus the Kangaroos, last year was 30-0 in the champs final in Waikato. How do you see this one play out?
Yeah, the Kiwis probably don't have the same team that they did have last year, or actually both teams didn't have the same players. You know, Kangaroos coming off a close match to the Tongan team. I know that scoreline probably didn't do the game justice, where Tonga were very competitive, but again, Kangaroos having another week in camp, you know, understanding the chemistry, you know, from of the other players, the timing, they've got reps in the saddle where, you know, that they've done training sessions together. There's a new spine there in both halfbacks, so they've got to get their understanding on timing and where they want the ball. So yeah, I think that extra week will help the Kangaroos. The Kiwis, yeah, they're always going to be strong when you've got players like James Fisher-Harris and also Joseph Tapi there leading from the front. But I think with their back three, they have a big role. You know, you've got Samoan fullback Keanu Kinney and also winger Jermaine Sako, and you've got Melbourne Storm grand finalist Will Warbrick. Those three will have a big role in setting the tone early, you know, running, getting those first three carries, getting the Kiwis on the front foot. You know, hopefully, you know, knocking through the Kangaroos' shield or defensive line. Another huge game to look forward to. And again, you know, Kiwis will take on Tonga next week. Could this be the preview of the final, or, you know, will Tonga, you know, sneak into this final? So it'll be a big game to look forward to. I forgot to mention one of the biggest games this weekend. Tor Samoa.
You know what? I was going to ask when that game was on.
It was this weekend they're kicking off. It kicks off Sydney time Monday, early morning. So just ticking over from Sunday to Monday. So
head to their social media page as well and just look at the hype and everything
the work
around
that
the
Meredith
work
is doing over there. It's unreal. Just quickly, Dean Mariner, I seen on a Tor Samoa post, he quotes, "All I want to do is represent Samoa. Samoa is my heritage. Samoa is my country. And I'll do anything I possibly can to represent the country." If that doesn't
goosebumps,
you know, give you goosebumps, if you're a Samoan, yeah, I don't know what will. But I know Tor Samoa would, you know, do their country proud. So I'll review that game on Monday. But all the best to all our Tor Samoa players who will be playing this weekend against England this coming Monday morning. What do we got for rugby union?
Hey, we've actually got a lot of rugby union today, T.
I found some stuff. Do we have enough time on the show, mate?
Yeah, we do. We've got plenty of time. I always make time for my Rugby Union Code, and it's because we're getting closer to the Northern Hemisphere tour that will be happening
November.
In November, when's the November test happening? Oh, you got to love Will Hopps, outstanding work. But before we get to that, we'll talk about the Women's Rugby World Cup 2025 draw has come out. The pools were announced last week, and we've seen the first game for Manusina Samoa is against the Wallaroos. So game one for their World Cup match is against the Wallaroos. Then they play England and then USA. So it's a tough pool, but an exciting one for the Manusina. Fiji have Canada first up, then Scotland, then Wales in a tough pool for them as well. So looking forward to that Rugby World Cup next year and those games. The Wallaby squad for their spring tour was announced and three big inclusions. Joseph Swali'i, Will Skelton and Samu Karevi. So we got a Samoan there with Joseph Swali'i finally coming home. Oh, I think everyone's just excited about him playing, getting his hands on the ball.
I can't wait to see that first touch.
Yeah.
Give him the ball early and just see him run amok.
Oh, we have to. Hopefully the forwards set a really good platform. The Wallabies have been better in their breakdown area in terms of getting quick ball, maybe lacking a little bit of strike to be able to finish off some of that grunt work. So hopefully he's the difference there in those games over there because they have some big games. They play England in 2 weeks. They have Wales, Scotland and Ireland. So they're massive games because they'll be going into next year's Lions series. So they're going to come up against the same type of players. So it'll be a good dress rehearsal for Joseph Swali'i. Will Skelton, the big Samoan lock, he'll be needed with his presence and his size. And Samu Karevi, who's been playing in Japan, in that midfield, I think that's going to lighten the load for someone like a Hunter Paisami in the midfield there for them to be able to, you know, first phase ball in particular, offset piece, set in a nice platform.
Are those the only Nijin players in the Wallaby squad?
No, there's plenty more in there, but I think they're the main three. Fiji, they'll be playing on November 3rd, so their first game is against Scotland next weekend. They also play Wales, Spain and Ireland. So for Fiji, this is a big test for them as well. They haven't really had to, on these top of tours, play against a lot of the Tier 1 Northern Hemisphere teams. So a longer camp, preparation leading into the World Cup. Mick Burns said there's a lot of older players retiring and finishing up their time in the Fijian jerseys. So it's going to be time for them to bring some players through and get them battle-hardened against high-level competition week in, week out. So that will be a great test for Fiji. Tonga, they're heading away and they'll play against Romania in 2 weeks' time. They'll also play USA and Georgia. Great to see William Havili back in the squad. He didn't play in their recent test matches, so I think it'll be interesting to see how he combines with Patrick Pellegrini in the halves. He's normally a 10, but I think he might play 15. So it's good that they've got some ball players in there that understand how to manage a game and control. So hopefully they come away with some really good results. The Japan squad, here's a name for you. Opeti Helu. He's going to make his debut off the bench. He's a tight head prop. Did his Mormon mission straight after. He was an Australian schoolboy. I think he played Australian schoolboy. Went over and did his mission. All he wanted to do was go and live and play in Japan. He was obsessed with it. So Rugby Australia and all that tried to lure him back. Said, no, I'm going to Japan.
So it wasn't about the rugby. It wasn't about
the culture.
Earning extra coin. He was just wanting to go and live in Japan for the culture.
Yep.
How cool.
So he's the same age group as Issei Hangana. But he's going to be making his debut off the bench for Japan for his
position.
First cap. He's a prop. Big boy. So they'll need that because they're playing against the All Blacks this weekend, which will be a big one over there in Japan before the All Blacks head over for their Northern Hemisphere tour. This is another one, T. Sione Tuipulotu. He's been named as Scotland's captain.
No,
Tongan, yes. He's Tongan
So the Scotland Rugby Union captain's name is Sione Tuipulotu. How good.
So we got a Tongan.
And is he Scottish? Or is he
he's Tongan Scottish.
Oh, okay.
Grandmother's Scottish. That's how they qualified. And guess where he started? You wouldn't believe it. in Australia. So there's another one gone over and made his mark over in Scotland. What's William Wallace? Is that the fearless leader back in the day?
Yeah, Braveheart.
Braveheart. So there's the Tongan Braveheart playing for Scotland. So that's great news. It's a big rugby union country. Like, that's massive news. That Sione, and he's got the runs on the board as well. Plays in the midfield. He's been damaging for his club team of Glasgow, and now he gets to lead his country.
The thing I love about the news that you're giving today is highlighting the amount of Pacific players across the world. You know, they're doing great things for different countries or in different countries, represent but still representing their nation. You know, you see Tui Polotu, the Tongan name,
yes,
but he is the Scotland captain. That is unreal, you know. And then you got Opiti Helu, who's making his debut for Japan.
Yep.
It's just, you know, amazing to see these names, but also, you know, they're not attached. Oh, they're representing other nations as
well. Yes, they spread the wings. A lot of our Pacifica players heading over there, and we've said it before, doesn't matter what colour their jersey is, they're representing their family and their culture. And his younger brother, actually, as well, Mosese Tuipulotu, who's made his debut for the Tars, so either this year or last year, he's also in the Scottish squad as well. So another one from Australia going over and making a name for himself over there. In some other news, PNG Olympics committee suspended PNG rugby. This comes after they were also suspended from Oceania rugby. So some not so good news there for PNG on the rugby front. No one's responded or know what needs to be done to be able to rectify those issues, but hopefully it gets solved pretty soon. The 2026 Comm Games that was supposed to be held in Melbourne, now held in Scotland, Glasgow. There's only 10 sports being held, and Rugby Sevens got the chop. They won't be in a part of the Comm Games for the 2026 Games. Sad news, because that's where a lot of our Pacifica players get to be on display in that space. You know, Fiji would be a favourite of winning a medal there. Samoa as well for both the men's and the women's. So it's sad to see that not going ahead for the Comm Games. So plenty of rugby news. Outstanding work from myself. I'm just patting myself on the back because we finally got something. And we will head over to Culture Shock.
Culture Shock.
Yes, T, Culture Shock. Last week I told you about the Fijian village producing rugby talent. This week, you're in charge. I needed a Tongan fact. And I said to you, if you want to explore, you know, the rugby league circles of that Tongan fact, go for it.
Well, I was listening to our interview with Felice Kavusi and the impact. He speaks about the impact that, you know, Jason Tomololo and Andrew Fafita had when they first made that change from representing Australia and New Zealand and representing the Matamatonga at the time. And got me thinking, you know, where Tonga was at that point in time or before that point in time, and, you know, how far they've come. You know, we've seen Conrad Harrell, you know, with the scoreline on his tattooed on his
yes,
thigh.
That's right.
That historic win where they beat Australia 16-12. You know, they just shook the rugby league world. But the thing that really caught my eye, I'll keep it nice, short and sharp, was Tonga actually, that game, became the first ever Tier 2 nation to beat Australia.
Yeah,
at the time, they were Tier 2.
Yep.
So that Tongan team was the first Tier 2 nation ever to beat Australia. And it just goes to show how much it meant to the country. And you spoke about the impact it's had, you know, since that time, the amount of players, young players that want to represent Tonga now, even rugby union, you're seeing the effects of
the Tongan rugby union
players. Well, next week, Sammy, we already spoke about a number of players doing some great things around the world, representing different nations. Now, you mentioned Japan. Well, why don't you give us something about the crossover between the Pacific Islands and Japan?
Yes. I've already got something for this. I don't have to look about 20 minutes before the show to find that culture shock. So I'm prepared for this one, T. You're going to love it.
It better be good then. Well, there's no Sulla this week with her and Jillaroo's camp in New Zealand. So instead, let's hear from a couple of Tongan girls who we sat down with while we were in Fiji. We chatted to Emma Nitsapaki and Tegan Dimmick the day before their big game versus Samoa.
Maolele, Felisa Kaufusi here, and I'm listening to Nation Footy.
Yeah, joining us here on Nijin Footy this week. We're in Fiji, lucky enough to be in Tonga camp with one of their superstars, Emanita Paki, one of the stars from up in Brisbane. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So far, how's the camp been? Been in Fiji, been amongst the girls. What's it been like?
Yeah, it's been really great. Just connecting with our culture and meeting all the other girls has been really good.
What are some ways that camp has been able to, you know, connect you to your Tongan culture and the girls as well?
Just our motto. Not a lot of us knew the Tongan motto, so we went a little bit through that. But yeah, just learning about my family's culture has been really important to me.
Sammy, do you know what the Tongan motto is?
O tua mo tonga ko hoku to fia.
Do you know what that means in English?
Die for Tonga.
I think it's like, is it God? Tonga,
oh, God, that's it, yeah.
Then the inheritance. Can we
edit this out, please?
Yes. Yes.
Mate, my Tonga is
die for Tonga. That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
We die for Tonga no matter what. What else have you learnt about your culture being here, especially with all the girls, and seeing it from a footy lens? How else does it help connect you?
Just with faith, I think. We do have devotion every morning, and just know that God is very important in Tonga, and I think that it helps me a lot, just trying to connect back with him.
I was honoured yesterday to be here for the RLPA, but then be welcomed in during the devotion time for you ladies, and you also had a guest speaker here share about the under-16s women's girls team that travelled to Australia from Tonga, and you could see the passion that she had when she was sharing the story. Do you have speakers every day that share stories like that?
Yeah, most of our staff show a word every now and then, just about how much it means for them to be here, or just little things that help them through their career. So we had Lungi there, just a past player, share a little bit about her stuff. So yeah, it's been really cool.
I saw that you had a hit out against the Fijian men's team out there. Firstly, who made that call to do that? Because I'd be scared running against some of those players. But what was it like having a hit out against the Fijian men's team?
Yeah, I don't know who scheduled that, but I think they're walking the line for that one. But yeah, it was really cool just to, you know, go against some NRL players, and they're actually way bigger in real life, to be honest. So kind of step aside, didn't put my body in the front. They would have rolled me.
Well, I want to speak about your rugby league journey, and yeah, where did that journey start for you?
It started in school. It was like a Karen Murphy Cup. It was like a nines comp, and I played just to get out of school, actually. It was a Friday, and yeah. I just played to get out of school. And once I played it, I loved it ever since and kept playing.
And then where did your rep footy start?
It started when I was 18. I made the under-19s Queensland team. So it started off with that. I played there for 2 years. Then I went to Newcastle 2022. Unfortunately, I did my ACL in the grand final, but we still won, so I'm...
Still got a ring?
Yeah, still got a ring, so the injury didn't matter.
How's your family been through your whole rugby league journey, you know, playing a contact sport?
My older brother actually played footy, so... we've always been rough with each other, tackling, wrestling. So when I told Mum I was going, she was kind of happy with it. But yeah, she always thought I was going to be a netballer though.
And then this year we've seen you represent Queensland. And what was that experience like?
So I had like a 4-week break after BMD. And I got the call up from Tani Norris, just asked the congratulations I was in the squad. I didn't expect too much, just being with the best of Queensland girls there was just an honour to me. Just to be around them and learn off them was pretty cool. But yeah, I didn't realise how much people supported the Queensland team. Just to play in 2 sold out games was incredible. The crowd was really good. They really turned up for both of them. Was rainy days too. So, but yeah, they turned up, and it was really cool to experience it.
What have you learned about that experience around preparation and now bringing it into, you know, this camp now for the Pacific Championships?
Just how important sleep is, I think. Yeah.
It's important,
isn't it? It is. But yeah, just resting up, I found that we had a lot of downtime in Queensland camp just to do our own thing and not always think about footy. I think that's the most important thing in camps like this, that we're so focused on footy, that sometimes we do need a break every now and then.
Then I heard after the Queensland experience and State of Origin, you got a number of NRLW offers or people contacting you. Explain to us the thought process on your decision on not going down the NRLW path this year.
Yeah, so I think coming from BMD, just game after game, every weekend, was doing a toll on my knee. I found that I wasn't performing to where I wanted it to be. So I made the decision to have another year off, focus on just my knee again, just doing everything properly with rehab and all that. So it was tough decision, obviously on me, but I'm grateful for that. I had a really good circle around me that supported me. But I'll be back next year.
I love that.
Yeah, well, obviously you said no to NRLW, but when Tonga came calling, there was definitely no hesitation, was there?
No, <to play? laughs> no hesitation. As soon as I knew, I called my mum and she was really happy about it. Just to represent her, my dad's family and all my grandmother's granddad and everything. So I'm pretty happy.
Can you feel the difference between the State of Origin camp and the Tongan camp?
Yeah, so I think I'm more grounded to my culture when we're in Tongan camp. Just being around the Tongan girls has been really good. It just feels like I'm back home with my sisters. We all make fun of each other. It's just a good environment.
What else about the being amongst the girls? You've mentioned your family, learning a little bit more. What about the sense of belonging and pride and putting on that jersey? Does that get spoken about much?
Yeah, it does. Like when we put that jersey on, it's not just us we're playing for. We're playing for our families. Most of all, Tonga. We're playing for Tonga and all the future girls that might be coming and playing and taking our spots.
Is this the first time you'll be putting on the red jersey?
It is. It is my very first time. I'm really excited and can't wait.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I'm always nervous, no matter what kind of game. It could be local game, it could be origin game. I'm always nervous for it.
It's good that it's always good to have nerves. It means that you're on, you're ready to go. But do you think there'll be that one moment where you'll be like the emotions, I'll call it like that spirit coming in and go, oh, that's connected me. Whenever I represented the Cook Islands, it was always during the anthem, then tears just fall down. Do you think there'll be that moment for you?
Yeah, probably the anthem or our hymn we're going to sing. So, I'm really excited for it all.
Did everyone have to learn the hymn? And which one is it that you're going to be singing before the game?
Oh, don't put me on the spot like that. I don't know what it's called.
Oh, see, it calmed and now goes back to you.
As soon as you said, I was like, oh.
Then it was like, can you sing it for us?
At least sing us the first line.
No, they started off and then I sing it.
We need to get Teagues in here to start it off with.
Yeah. Is it that
one?
Yeah, there you go. I see. You know you're talking about culture.
Nah, not really. I'm learning every time I've interviewed someone, I learn something new.
And just in this camp, who's the joker?
Oh, we've got a few jokers. I would say probably Jade. She likes to get under everyone's skin. She's the worst.
And who's most likely to turn up late to training?
Nia. Little Nia.
That was quick.
Nia. She has...
Song in time, is it?
Honestly, she has walked the line every single day.
Well, actually, I was here during that time. Can you explain to our listeners what walk the line is?
So we have walk the line. If you're late, we all huddle up and you grab your thong and...
It's a slipper, isn't
it? Yep, slipper. And when they run through, you just dart them.
Oh, is it play on now to do that? Is it still play on to do that?
Play on.
Yeah. Have you gone down the line?
Yeah, I didn't even know why I went down the line. They just wanted to see me go down the line.
Did you go down yesterday?
Yeah, I went down yesterday and someone thotted my face. So.
Oh, wow, that's, that's next level.
Yep, and I'm going to video referee it. little captain's challenge.
Or speaking of the captains, one of the new ones is Tash Benatani. Like, what's she been like, you know, after the season that she's had with NRLW and playing last year for Tonga? Like, what's she been like in camp now?
She's been so good. She's just one of the role models you look at. She's just got a lot of chat around field, always has really good energy, which is really good to have in a forward. She's just got that go-forward energy.
One thing I love about these the Nations and the management of the Nations is when coaches come in and they open the door to our culture. How does that make you feel when you have a coach that's opened the door for you girls and you're the nation to allow to have that space to, you know, dive into our culture?
It's been really good. Not only that, Kelvin has been doing the Sipitau. He did the Sipitau.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He did. We had a favour Tuesday night, and all our staff actually did a Sipitau, all the boys. So.
Was he the Jason Tamalolo in the middle? And, and he, they dropped down, and he's there ready to go. Big Calvin?
Oh, no comment.
Oh, that's unreal. Well, from all of us here, malo pito.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
It's Nation Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, next up on the show for Nation Footy, another special guest from the Tongan camp, we have Tegan Thimmick, and very privileged to have you on our show. Firstly, before you say thanks for having me, I just want to know, what were you doing on the 9th of July at midday?
Oh, I know where this is going.
You know where this is going? Where's this going?
I don't know, so I really wanted
someone
to.
Someone messaged me and I was just like in footy head. So I
someone named Sam Wykes. Hey, Tegan, Sam Wykes, you from Nation Footy?
Oh, you got ghosted.
Got ghosted. Got ghosted, rejected there. So I just thought when I found out you were coming on, I was like, this is a perfect opportunity.
I actually didn't reply because I was scared to be on TV.
Yes.
I was like, oh no, I'm going to stutter.
That's all good. I'm used to rejection. Happened in my marriage. It happened every time. But it's all good. I'm used to it. But it always comes back around where it works out. So thank you. For joining us on the show.
You've had to fly all the way to Fiji.
Fiji to make this happen.
On the show.
Okay, I was in pre-season.
That's commitment.
Head noise,
please. All good. But how's camp been so far for yourself?
Yeah, it's been good. We have had 3 training sessions. We had a big day on Saturday. We flew in from Sydney. Some flew from Brisbane and New Zealand. We flew 3 hours, then got the bus for 3 hours, so it was hard on Sunday, but... yeah, it's been good. The girls have gelled together really well this year.
How many Tongan camps have you been involved with now?
This is my third one.
Third one. Has this one been special, being in Fiji?
Has it been? Yeah, it has been special. It's been really different, like having Tiana Penatani not here in China. It's been different because they're such big characters, but I think the girls have filled their spots really well.
What about the growth of the game, especially the Tonga camp, from your first camp to now? Like, what are some of the big differences?
Oh, I think we just have more equipment, actually.
The simple things, which matter.
It was our first campaign. It was just all about the culture and God. That's what our culture is about, our faith. But, yeah, it's been really good to see how we've evolved from the first campaign.
What have you loved the most about learning about your culture?
I grew up with my, not white side, Palangi side. my dad, my nan flew to Australia when she was 16 because she had arranged marriage with my grandfather, which was Maltese. So we never really got to grow up with our Tongan side. Like, we had a few events with our Tongan side, but it's been great just to like learn like the Tongan way and how we are. Yeah.
Do you look forward to coming into these camps for that reason? You know, keep reconnecting or engaging, getting closer to your Tongan culture?
Yeah, it's probably my favourite part of the year, coming to Tongan camp, just to learn about our culture and our faith.
And what examples can you give? Like, what things do you do during camp that connect you, bring you closer to your Tongan culture?
In the mornings and nights, we have devotion for half an hour to an hour, and we sing hymns, and we also pray so that gives a lot of us girls some knowledge around our culture and faith.
What's a common Tongan word that you've learnt in and around camp that you love to say?
There's got to be something there. Those words get flown around so much.
I don't think I can say. I can't. You know? I don't think I can say someone here.
Oh, okay. Some of the swear words. Fair enough.
Have you had to walk down the line?
No, not this year. The second year I did, and we were with the Tonga A boys as well, so they were hitting me as
they
well.
They jumped in the same one?
They were in the same line, yeah.
Where do you like to stand when you're on the line? Like, are you like straight away, I'm going to give you, or do you want to wait at the end and just go?
I'm kind of in the middle.
Oh, in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the middle.
Knowing full well that, like, if it's, so do you go hard? No, full well, it could be you.
No, it won't be me.
It won't be you? Oh, I love that.
It's like girls that, like, are late to devotion or late to the bus, like 2 minutes by 3 minutes. Yeah.
And your rugby league career, where did it start? And I know you come from a strong rugby league family, so was it always, you were always planning to play rugby league?
Well, I actually started in Union in sevens, and then my dad was working.
Another one gone. Anyway, continue.
My dad was working at Cronulla at the time, and then he was like, oh, come down to Latasha Gale training, and I was a bit iffy about it. And then I went down and, like, I've never looked away. I've played at Cronulla for 7 years. And when they didn't have a NRLW team, I went down to Illawarra Dragons for 2 years and then came back to Cronulla when they had their first NRLW team. Then next year I'm going to Bulldogs.
Oh, yes. Up the Dogs. Are you moving to Belmore?
No, I'll be staying in Malabar.
Come down, enjoy the culture, the experience out there. The chicken, it's unreal out there.
Oh, their culture's great. Like, when he worked there, oh my goodness. We would drive to the games and they would shake the car. That was crazy.
Well, let's touch on the Sharkies experience. Grand final this year. Just feel short, especially just how the two halves panned out. What was that experience like being in there and going all the way to a grand final?
We started the season really strong. We won 6 games in a row, and then we come up against the Roosters in the 7th round and we lost, I think it was 40-0 or something. And then we lost the week after to Broncos, like on the bell we lost. That's it was right, so yep. sad. And then we lost again to Tigers. But I think that was a great learning experience. We had to lose some games. Like, you have to fail to succeed. Mm-hmm. So it was good. And then in the semi-final, we played a really strong game, brought us to the grand final. We just started off and it wasn't like, I'm not blaming like everything around it, but like we warmed up inside, so your legs are heavy. The first 10 minutes, none of us could run properly. Like, this is the same as the Roosters girls, but they just could put points on the board in the first half and we couldn't.
You mentioned that semi-final, 14-0, you smashed the Broncos, don't concede any points, then the grand final. Do you think there was anything different that you could have done to help improve that start or that first half?
I just think we kind of put our heads down a bit in that first half. Like, we started off really strong, and then after they scored the first one, they just kept scoring points and we just needed to turn around. But we had a good chat to Tony in the second half and we tried to come back. If Liv Koenig didn't score that try, we would have won.
Yes.
But that's okay. That's footy. Stuff happens.
Now, from going into the grand final, now coming into the Pacific Champs, helped you prepare and be a better footballer?
Yeah, it has helped me prepare. I think me and some of the other girls bring a lot of professionalism into the camp to teach the younger girls. I was thrown in when I was young as well. Like, I think I was 17, 18 when I debuted. So, yeah, it's great to just have that experience and give it off to someone else.
You mentioned earlier, no Tiana, no China. Do you feel like this being your third camp, you've had to step up as one of those leaders alongside Vanessa and Tash?
Yeah, I think I just like carry myself in the way I should as being an athlete. So I hope I lead by example for the younger girls.
You've put on the jersey, you've sung the anthem, sung the hymns. What hits home most to you?
You know what, probably running, like walking out with the girls, because it's not like a run out. You walk out, get in the line, sing the anthem, and then we get into a circle and sing the hymn. So I think probably walking out.
That visual, I remember last year when you played in New Zealand, I think it was a clip or a photo of when Tiana led and the whole line of you girls just walking out.
The flag over the shoulder.
It looked like a powerful moment.
Yeah.
So I can see why that one would hit home. And, well, speaking of home, your dad, is there any
Do you feel like he's, is there any, we spoke to the Hopewades and oh, Levi.
Yeah.
They know, yeah, when dad's whistling, they give him the old tongue and whistle. And is there, do you have that call where your dad's on the, you know, in the back of your shoulder and whistling from the crowd and you know that's him?
Oh, no. He always puts in my head inside shoulder. So I'm always thinking, oh, inside shoulder, inside shoulder.
He's more technical. That's why he's there assisting, been a coach for ages.
He is really good. Like before the game, he'll call. He messages me. He doesn't call me, otherwise I get distracted. But he'll send me like a nice paragraph of what to do. So he's good.
What's the number one rule in rugby league defense, Sammy? Don't give you inside shoulder.
Don't give you inside shoulder. I should have just repeated that. Should've. I was like, just get off the ground.
Well, don't fall for dummies.
Don't fall for dummies.
Dummies totally fall for dummies.
we don't want to take up too much more of your time. One final message for the people of Tonga and your family that you have for them in supporting you, you girls on this journey.
Thank you for everyone for always supporting us. Like, we've come really far from where we started, and I send my love to my family.
Unreal. Malo pito.
Malo pito. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
The Prof is back. I spoke to him last night.
Yeah, how's he doing?
Yeah, he's all right. He's found a new phone. He said he lost his phone over in Bali, so it's good to know that he's back online and giving us some questions.
Professor Paulo, he'll ask us a question each Friday. We've kept a score. Sammy, you're on 16. I'm on 14. Lowest points has to shout a fancy lunch.
We saw Manu, Sina and Fiji qualify for the Women's Rugby World Cup last week. How many World Cups have Fiji played in so far?
Did they play in the last one? Oh,
what are you going?
I can't remember if they played in the last one.
You're union, so you do the honours, mate.
Two?
Oh, I was so hoping you'd say one. So I'm guessing if you said, did he say play in the last one, it would have to be less than
Well, they've
two.
Definitely qualified for the next one. So
I'll go one then.
Fiji has played in one World Cup. New Zealand in 2022.
Oh, so they played in New Zealand. Oh, so was that a trick question? Not how many they qualify, how many they've played in?
I don't know, mate. We're going off topic now, mate. Let's head straight to the knockout tipping.
Where I'm killing it here, so.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Well, this is our knockout tipping comp, which I've absolutely dominated. I guess there's...
I can't even deny that.
I'm pretty much one. But you did get two from two last week, picking Tonga and PNG with the head starts.
Oh, yeah, perfect.
But the score is I'm still on 46 and you're on 38. This week, let's stay in Suva. We'll go Fiji versus Cook Islands, both men's and women's. We'll start with the women's.
Okay.
The Pulukula Fiji versus Cook Islands Moana.
Oh, you can't go against your home.
I'm going Cook Islands.
Both games?
It's funny because I actually think Cook Islands will win. I was at my mum and dad's house where dad and my sisters are, and they are praying that Cook Islands lose because they want mum to come home and look after my niece. My sister's like, I hope they don't win because I want mum to come home. And because the winner of this game goes to New Zealand and plays Samoa in New Zealand.
Also, if they win, she's not going to be at the awards night on...
No, she's going straight from Fiji. They go straight to New Zealand.
Okay, there we go. Well, all right. Well, I'll go Fiji both games.
You know what? I've got the lead. Let's just go head-to-head both games.
All right, sweet. You know what? The only reason why I feel like Fiji is going to win both games, I just go off some fancy analysis, the social media post. I just felt like the Cook Islands, too much dancing going on.
Well, let's stay on this. My brother said the same thing to my mum. She goes,
too much
there's
of
been
it.
A lot of drumming and singing and dancing.
I haven't seen much footage.
Not much
or footy
training.
But that's our time up for another Nation Footy Friday. Great to have you back,
Tim. Yes, it is great to be back. Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.